بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. Tonight inshallah we will talk about a few issues that goes around al-wala wal-bara, the understanding about it, the differences about al-usul wal-furu', the foundations and the branches. Issues that defines us, who we are. There is a gray area, we'll define it. But before I go into it, I want to share some stories with you, inshallah. But I want to raise a banner that I'm going to start with and I'm going to finish with, inshallah. If I leave you with nothing tonight, this banner suffices. It suffices for us to raise that banner proud. Starting with yourself, your family, and work outwardly, inshallah, till it gets to the ummah, bi'ithnillah, one day. The utterance belongs to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu ardah. And the banner states, أَيَنْقُسُ الدِّينَ وَأَنَا حَيِّ, which means, would religion be decreased as long as I'm alive? The answer is in the question itself. Let us go through on this journey to understand what Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu arda. Then we will take some ayat and ahadith to understand the story behind what we can compromise and what we cannot. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu wa an as-sahabati ajma'in, after the death of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was something called Hurub al-Ridda. Those people specifically did not want to pay zakah after the death of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Who was the Khalifa? First Khalifa is known to be Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. The owner of that Khalifa. After that it was Amir al-Mu'mineen when Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu arda was named and dubbed for that. The first Khalifa, Khalifa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu ardah, wanted to fight these people because they did not want to pay zakah. So Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu ardah comes up to him, he says, didn't Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says those who say la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, they are innocent, we cannot touch them. Bloodshed is off, they're off limits. But then in reply, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu arda said, didn't Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, man qala la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, bihaqqiha, with its true rights, full rights. And he says, was zakah min haqqiha. And paying zakah, the obligatory alms and charity, is among the truth and the rights that comes with this banner, the umbrella that we all live under. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Live and die by it. He says, wallahi, if they hold back one strand of hay, I will fight them for it. And he replies with that banner that I want you to raise so proud. أَيَنْقُسُ الدِّينَ وَأَنَا حَيْ. And he repeated it. أَيَنْقُسُ الدِّينَ وَأَنَا حَيْ. Three times. Will religion be decreased as long as I'm alive? While I'm alive? Could that be possible? Is that possible, akhi? So why didn't you take this, akhi, banner and raise it, ukhti, and start with yourself? Do you think that you will decrease from La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah as long as you pulse, that heart pulses with La ilaha illallah? As long as you blink an eye? As long as you breathe? Could that be possible that you don't live accordingly? La wallahi, it's not befitting for a true believer for their religion to decrease and their aqeedah and their iman to go downwards. It's not. We know that iman increases and decreases, but it's not our topic. We won't go there. But at least be proud when you raise that banner. Start by yourself, then your family, and work around it, inshaAllah. Staying with the Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, going back into family relations. Abdullah radiyallahu anhu, among the children of Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, in the battle, he was trying to stay away from his father so he would not have to face him and fight him. After, when he became a Muslim radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, he says, wallahi, at the battle, I used to actually go away from you so I don't have to face you, so I won't have to kill you. What did Abu Bakr as-Siddiq reply to him? What did he say? Anyone know? Yes, akhi. Allahu Akbar. He says, yes, you were trying to go away so you don't face me, so you won't have to fight or kill me. But if I've seen you, I would have fought you and killed you. Before I go any further, I'm not giving anyone the green light to go ahead and fight your father or your child, if he's a Muslim or not a Muslim. We will understand, we will address this inshallah in the end. But you understand the commitment of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, the loyalty, who to your heart? Where does your heart belong, ya akhi? Where does your heart belong? It to Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula? Or is it to this dunya? Do you follow the Quran and Sunnah? Or what people say? Do you have this battle inside your heart? Is it tradition versus Islam? Who are you? I'm an Egyptian, Pakistani, Lebanese, Syrian, whatever. Or are you a Muslim? What comes first? Is the word I included in your vocabulary? Or do you say, رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَبِيًّا وَرَسُولًا? You're supposed to say that three times after Fajr and before Maghrib, every night. These are the three questions you'll be asked in the grave. So do your homework. And that's where your loyalty belongs. You belong to that. رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ جَلَّ فِي عُلَى, first on your list. Do you know what the scholars say? إِنْ أَرَدْتَ أَن تَعْرَفْ مَقَامَكَ فَانْظُرْ فِي مَا أَقَامَكَ. If you want to know where you stand with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stand in your life? Does He come number one on your list? Or do you say, manana, when I have time, you procrastinate. Now, there's another son and a father combination. I'm sure you heard of Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. عليهم من الله ما يستحق. And then I'm sure you also heard of Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. رضي الله عنه. Look at the difference. You say Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, you say عليهم من الله ما يستحق. May Allah reward him, grant him what he deserves. And then you say, Abdullah ibn Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, his son. You say, radiyallahu an, Allahu Akbar. And there's too many combinations of a father and son that were mushrik and Muslim. But among them is this one. There is Quran revealed in that honor. When they go back to Medina, what did he say? لَيُخْرِجَنْ أَلْأَعَزُّ مِنْهَا الْأَذَلُّ. He meant that when I go back to Medina, the honorable himself, he means al-a'az, he will take out the adhal, hasha, the one that is dishonorable or belittled. Meaning Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hasha wal-iyadu billah, he is the honorable among Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, given that honor. Lillahi al-izzah wa li-rasulihi. Al-izzah, the honor for Allah and His Messenger and the true believers. We know that. We don't need to discover it or fight for it. It is sufficient that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testified for that. Qur'an yutla yawm al-qiyamah min fawq sab'a samawat. This will be recited and revealed from the seventh heaven, recited till Judgment Day. But when Abdullah ibn Abdullah heard what his father said, and the news came back to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, Ya Rasulullah, da'ni, let me kill my own father. Because I will not stand for anyone else to kill my own father. Otherwise, I will have to kill him. And that would be killing a mushrik for a Muslim. And I would be going to the hellfire for that. And I don't want it on my conscience. I know this sounds harsh, akhi and ukhti. I'm trying to lay the foundation. But in the end, we'll put it comprehensive way so you'll have an understanding, a proper understanding of awala and bara, inshaAllah. There are certain things we do not bend. There are certain things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the grace. Understanding that living in the West specifically, we have to deal with it. We cannot duck it. So when he comes into Medina, and of course Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know what happened, even dealing with the hypocrites, he was very wise. And in da'wah you have to be wise, ya akhi. Hikmah. So Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, even with hypocrites, he says, do not kill him. Do not kill them. Do you want people to say that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam kills his own friends? However, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul stood on the boundaries of Medina. As long as his father came in, he took his sword out, drew it, placed it on the neck of his own father in his chest. And he says, stop, you will not enter Medina. He says, are you out of your mind? Of course, I'm paraphrasing. Because I don't think there's out of your mind in Arabic, so you understand. I am your father. He says, I know who you are, but you will not enter Medina unless and until Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Al-A'az, gives the permission to the Adhal. The one that is honorable gives the permission for you to enter Medina. And he was supposed to be the leader before the attendance of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the arrival after Hijrah. Or before Hijrah. And he thought he was kidding, but he wasn't. Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives the permission, grants Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul to enter Medina, putting down the foundation that he is the Amir, he is the king, ruling is Islam, no messing around, there is no playing favoritism, there is no politics in this, this is black and white. You will not enter unless he gives you permission. He is the Amir. The ruling accordingly is such as that. Speaking on the relation again in the father and mother and the parents, Allah subhanahu jalla fi ula says, وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. Meaning of the interpretation. If they command you to commit an act of shirk, to ascribe partners unto Allah subhanahu jalla fi ula, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا فَالتَّعْقِيبِ, meaning right away. As soon as you see this letter fa in the Quran, you know it's expedient. Right away, rush. It's called fa al-taqib in ulum al-Quran. Right away, do not obey them. There is a command and a negation. Amr wa nahi. Fala, do not to obey them. Wa sahibhuma, a command. But still be good and do righteous deeds as long as they're alive. Do you understand, ya akhi and ukhti? If you have parents that are not Muslim yet, inshallah, that's how you deal with them. Because the scholars will tell you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the measuring stick as shirk. And in consensus, the scholars will tell you the greatest thing that you can do is shirk. Proof. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. Indeed, Allah forgives not the act of shirk, and He forgives everything else other than that. That means on Judgment Day, of course, if you die, not repenting from the shirk. إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. There is nothing worse than that. The gravest acts of oppression. ظُلْمٌ لَكَ وَعَلَيْكَ. ظُلْمٌ لَكَ وَلِغَيْرِكَ. You oppress yourself and oppress others. You oppress yourself by denying yourself Jannah. By the act of shirk. That's the gravest part of shirk, is that oppression. So the scholars say, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the same measuring stick, that the worst thing you can ever do is shirk. And if even if your parents are asking you to commit shirk, that's the worst thing. Don't obey them in that. But you still have to be good to them. So keep that in mind, akhi and ukhti, just in case your parents are not Muslim yet. Moving down the road, listen to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his own daughter. What did he say? He says, لو سرقت فاطمة لقطعت يدها. He says, if Fatima stole, I would cut her hand off. When the scholars look into this hadith, they say Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if Fatima stole, لَقَطَعْتُ, meaning أَنَا. I would cut her hand off. He did not say, لَأَمَرْتُ بِيَدِهَا أَن تُقْطَعْ. He did not say, I would command or give an order for her hand to be cut off in a third person. لَا وَاللَّهِ. He would have established the had himself. Who amongst us will take that honor that said, even though if it's my own family, I will establish the had. I will establish justice. I will be truthful to it. I will have the loyalty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fi ula and establish the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who amongst us can dare do that? Have we not heard the hadith that this is halaka man qablakum? Those nations before you were destroyed. Why? If the honorable amongst us commits an act that deserves a had, a penalty, they're gone free. But if the poor amongst us establish or commit a sin that deserves a had, a penalty, we establish the had. I'm not going to talk about politics, but I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. In nations so-called Muslim, they have the same rule. They will not touch the honorable. But if somebody else does it, yes, we're a Muslim country, established the had. Is that right, akhi? Allahu Akbar. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I can name that tune in three notes. Imagine, akhi and ukhti, when people came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, trying to make a deal with him. He says, Ya Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, this is Quraysh. Quraysh is actually called Fihr, originally, that's the name, Quraysh, but he's known for to be Quraysh. Bani, the tribe of Quraysh, his name is Fihr. They said, okay, we submit, we tried everything. What did they try? Even though the hadith is da'if, I know that, the hadith is weak. But the scholar says, in Sira, we don't establish a sad because it's not a had of the authentication and so on. But it's a known stories. But just to set the understanding of what Prophet Muhammad ﷺ had to go through. When the Quraysh came to him, after trying so many times for him to stop, saying, La ilaha illallah, قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحوا. First 13 years. Say, La ilaha illallah, so may prosper. That's it. So we learn something. What do we learn? We learn something called تأخير البيان لحاجة. تأخير البيان. Meaning, didn't you think that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam knew that the idol worship was haram? Did he not see statues around the Kaaba? Did he take an axe and go ahead and hack it? No, he didn't. He had priorities. موجبات الوقت. There is times and priorities for every place and time. So be smart, akhi. Pick your battles. So he only said, قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ تَفْلَحُوا first 13 years. Didn't like that. They came up to him. After they tried so many times, so they had to level. They said, okay. If it's jinn, we can cure it. If it's an illness, we can get you the best doctors. If it's money you want, we'll make you the richest. If it's women you want, take as many women as you want. If it's power you're after, we'll make you our king. Did he take any of them? Was there any compensation on this, akhi? La wallahi. He says, أَفَرَغْتُمْ, are you finished? We learned something else. Al-adab. Again, it's not our topic, but please, how many times did you not let anyone finish what they're trying to say? Even though they were talking nonsense, Prophet Muhammad let them empty and say what they had to say. He says, if you put the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left hand, I will not stop saying La ilaha illallah or die by it or for it. After this, they came back. Did I say turn off your thingy? Sorry. Ignore that. Sheikh. People came up to him and said, okay, we will worship your God. Okay, that's fine. We worship Allah. But you have to worship our gods. It's a deal, right? Great, man. People will become Muslims. No problems. Right? Wrong. We worship yours 1 year, you worship ours 1 year. Declined. So, okay. You worship ours just 1 month, we worship yours 1 year. Nope. 1 week, 1 year. Nope. 1 day, 1 year. Nope. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ That's the reason for the revelation of this verse and this chapter. Al-Kafirun. I do not worship what you worship, and you do not worship what I worship. And it's repeated to confirm that aqeedah is there. No gray, black and white. This is usul, it's not furu'. Now, you understand the usul in our aqeedah, tawheed, al-rububiyyah, wal-uluhiyyah, wal-asma' wal-sifat, all of this, usul. No difference of opinions. We cannot have gray in this. There is a story that it was supposed to be a message in an interesting way. An imam was supposed to go a village and he did not make it. So the whole village got together waiting for this imam. You may have heard the story before. And the imam couldn't make it, so everybody was waiting. So now the organizers were in trouble. So they looked around in the audience. They said, we have to find somebody that looks at least like an imam. So they looked for a guy with a big beard, you know, with the thob and the miswak, you know, iddat shughl, you know, the whatever uniform, the thing that you need to look like an imam. You know, the whole thingy, all that stuff. Oh, look at that brother. Oh, mashallah, you look like an imam. Come here, akhi. Sit here. Go, what? I'm not an imam. Said, don't worry. Come here, sit here. Just everybody ask you questions. Say fiha qawlan. There's two opinions in the matter. So I said, okay, if that's the case, no problems, I'll sit here. So people come and start and ask questions. So what do you, what does Islam say about this? Fiha qawlan. Wow, mashallah. Fiha qawlan. That's very good. And fiha qawlan. So some of the learned people said, okay, there's something fishy about this guy. Everything is fiha qawlan. Come on, man. So they came up to him and says, Afillahi shak. Is there any doubt about Allah? He says, fiha qawlan. He says, ah. Nice talking to you, man. So there is no gray. This is our aqeedah. That's what it's all about. However, akhi and ukhti, we got to learn something, inshallah, from this. We fight over what? Where you put your hand in a salah, right? Oh, he's a Hanbali, Shafi'i, Maliki, Hanafi. Maliki Shi'i. You start looking, where are you praying, man? Where you put your hand? Do you raise your hand when you come up? Do you go down on your knees first or your hands first? Look at Allah Musta'an. And we fight over how much with your, where do you put your hand over your head, right? Where you make wudu. Is it only half or is it all the way? Is it all the way and back? We fight over where we touch our heads with water in the wudu, and our enemies are united to cut off our heads. You understand what the hikmah is, akhi? Please understand where we have and we have not. Inshallah, we'll get back on track. Continuing, inshallah. Man came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, I want the shahada. He was not a Muslim. I want to be with you. He says, لا يصحبنا مشرك. A mushrik will not accompany us. You think shahada will grant you heaven just because you die for the sake of something? And we know there are three types of people that will actually spark the hellfire. Among them, those who fought, thinking that they fought for the sake of Allah. This hadith is scary. No. You fought, so you be called brave. وَقَدْ قِيلْ And it was said, this man wanted to fight. So Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was adamant, لا يصحبنا مشرك. A mushrik will not accompany us. Till he became a Muslim. And he died in the battle. So Prophet Muhammad ﷺ says, if you want to see a man that will be going to heaven without prostrating to Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi'ula once, look at this man. Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. Urwa ibn Mas'ud al-Thaqafi was standing behind Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was covered, full armor. Who comes in to discuss among those who negotiated the deal with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Al-Mughira al-Thaqafi. Who is it? His uncle. He doesn't know who's standing behind Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His nephew, because he couldn't see him, and he's already bailed him out. Urwa killed some people, and his uncle, Al-Mughira, bailed him out. So he was already in trouble, and his uncle got a favor, and he took him off the hook. But he doesn't know it was him. So he came to talk to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Urwa was there with the sword, protecting Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam at Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. So Al-Mughira came close and he wanted to touch the lihya, the beard of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as if it's a physical gesture. What happened? Urwa took the sword and slapped his finger, his hand right off the bat. He says, who is this ghalidh? Who is this harsh-hearted man? Who is this? He says, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, don't you recognize him? This is your nephew. He says, woe to you, didn't I just save your... He says, yes, ولكن هذا رسول الله. Yes, you have saved me. But this is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No gray, no touchy. Please understand, brothers and sisters, once we go through this journey, we need to change. We can't have gray in these areas. Another story. When a man came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, I want to become a Muslim. But I don't like this the clause. It says no fornication. You know, I like women too much. This is a mixed crowd, so we'll try to keep this a family show as much as possible, inshallah. So the man came in and said, I'm ready to take shahada. But I got to have this thing, man. So what happened? How did Prophet Muhammad sallam deal with him? Hikmah. He says, do you want anyone? Do you accept anyone to do that? What you want to your mother? He got upset. Your wife? He got more upset. To your daughter? He got more upset. He says, and all of us, we don't want that. Akhi. So there was no compensation. It's like others. This is a true story in another country. A man became a Muslim from another faith, another way of life. So they tried to get him back. He says, come back. What's wrong? He says, you know, there are certain things here in this book I don't believe you have the answers for, and these things don't make sense to me, and I don't like this verse here. You don't like this verse here? No problems. We'll take it out. Easy enough, yahi. Come back. He goes, okay, come with me. Come with me. So he takes him to the masjid. And he goes to the imam. He goes, yeah, imam. He says, I want to become Muslim, but you know, there's a few verses here in the Quran, I want you to take them out. Imshi abnil. Get away, you know. Again, I'm censoring myself because, you know. So you understand there are certain things that we do not. There is no compensation. There is no compensation on that one. We are firm on La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah in our aqeedah. So what are you, akhi? The peer pressure is difficult, I understand. Living out here in the West is more difficult. So what's your name, my brother? Remember? Mo? No? What's your name, sister? Queen Latifah? Sure. Been there, done that. I went through it too. But what happens? Today you're an apple. Tomorrow you're a banana. After that you're an orange. You become a fruit salad. Wallahi, your identity goes out the window. That's exactly what happens. No, I'm a Muslim. Yes. And you go to work. You want to come lunch with us? And it's Ramadan. I'm on a diet. Ya akhi, say I'm a Muslim, wallahi. I'm fasting. Use it as da'wah. And somebody comes in, like the brother was saying, Jazallah khair. You know, you see him in the masjid, brother. Akhi, I love you. Oh, that's beautiful, right? Then you know, you talk like this, you're wearing all that stuff. Oh, then you go to work. The spiky hair goes out, the bling bling comes down. And you're walking like you're strutting like home. And all of a sudden that brother, his name is Muhammad in there. He goes, Assalamu alaikum, brother Muhammad. He sees you at work. He goes, shh. You take him away. He says, Wa alaikum salam. What are you doing, man? You don't want to be known? Disguise. It's difficult. I know, wallahi. It is difficult, ya akhi. Compensation. The peer pressure. What can you do? You know this compensation about even wordings. You know what they say? Say alcohol now. You have a new name for it. As apparently, and if you change the name, it's not haram anymore. Alcohol, do you call it now? Mashrubat ruhiya. It's like a spiritual drink. MashaAllah. Oh yeah, of course. You know this zina they commit on the big screen. The actors and all that stuff. They call that fen, art. MashaAllah. You know the riba thingy. They call that fawaid. It's not interest, yaqi. It's not usury. No. It's fawaid. It's a benefit. I have a great idea. Why don't we call a pig a cow and eat it? Just change the name. It's cool. Move on. La wallahi, la wallahi. So the banner, I come back to the banner. The banner is, أَيَنْقُسُ الدِّينِ وَأَنَا حَيِّ. Remember that, brothers and sisters. Wallahi, living here out in the West, the best way for da'wah is leading by example. And you know how many people became Muslims because they saw a good brother or a good sister acting accordingly. Acting to what? Holding on the things that we do not compromise on. Holding on to the book and the sunnah. In England, a few years back, a sister became a Muslim. An Arab couple, two brothers. They were talking in Arabic. And every time that sister comes in, they go back and speak in English. I'm sure it's British English with pinky up, posh posh. And then she goes away, they start talking again in that Arabic language. She comes back, English, she goes away, Arabic. She started to wonder, what's up? She says, you see, every time you come, we have to speak in the common language as we were taught by Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So shaitan will not come and talk in it. Whispers that we are talking about you and so on. Look at the beauty of Islam. And she became a Muslim because of the established one sunnah. So what do you think, ya akhi? How do you feel about it, brother? Do you compromise? What's your life like? When you look at yourself in the mirror, who do you see? Again, I'm going to repeat. Do you see Muhammad or do you see
Ukhti,
when you look at yourself in the mirror, do you see Fatima? Or do you see... Ask yourself this question and be honest. Do I establish Islam? Do I raise the banner? Who am I? Knowing for sure that Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu ardah knew when he became a Muslim what Islam was all about. His mother, after she heard that he became a Muslim, what did she do? امتنعت عن الطعام. She fasted. That's it. I'm not going to eat anything. I'll do hunger strike. Till you come back to Islam, till come back to shirk. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, he goes back and he says, Wallahi, لقد علم العرب. Arabs know that I am among the most benevolent and kind to my mother. But wallahi, O mother, if you were given 100 souls, 100 lives, and you die one at a time in order for me to leave Islam, I will not leave Islam. Commitment, knowing what the priorities are, who he was, how things change. Now let us finally, in the last few minutes that I have with you, talk about al-wala wal-bara', the proper understanding of it, akhi. Some of us have something to prove, either to himself or herself, or to some other people. I'm a Muslim, I'm proud. That means I will have to take them as an enemy. Is that the proper understanding, akhi? Is that the proper understanding, ukhti? Subhanallah. Let us go to the proof before you start jumping. Because this brother was, you were talking okay, man. Now you're talking the controversial stuff. When we live in here, these guys, take them outside. I'll see you outside, man. Is that what you do? No. Let us talk to the proof, ya akhi. Let's go to the Quran. At the death of the uncle of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Talib, he helped Islam. He helped Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But did he become a Muslim? He was not a Muslim. He died in that state. People around him, this lovely posse he had, the company he kept, he's dying. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard about it, ran to him. Ya Ammah, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ كلمة. Say لا إله إلا الله. A word. أشفع لك بها عند ربي. I will intercede on your behalf in front of Allah. Just say لا إله إلا الله before you die. The people around him says, والله لئن قلتها لنعيرنك بها أبد الدهر. By Allah, if you say it, we'll make a mockery of you eternally, that you said it because you feared death. He says, بَلْ عَلَى مِلَّةِ عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِبِ. Nay, but on the way of my ancestors. And he died in a state of shirk. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was extremely saddened. He even cried. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these verses to set the record straight. And he says, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ. What's the word? Ahbabt. What does that mean, ya akhi? You will not guide those whom you loved. Could anyone deny the fact that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved his uncle? Anyone dares to challenge the Quran? Yes, we understand to love each other for the sake of Allah, to despise each other, or abhor, to dislike each other for the sake of Allah, is min a'la aw aqwa 'ura al-iman. It is the highest level of iman. We understand that, ya akhi. But in the right perspective, the actions of these people, not these people. You abhorred, or you dislike, or despise the act of shirk. Because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved his uncle. Yes, he was denied the access to say istighfar, that he asked forgiveness after he dies. There are certain things that's off limits. But he did love his uncle, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared that in the Quran. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ. You will not guide those whom you love, but Allah guides those whom He wishes. هَا أَنْتُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to Sahaba. تُحِبُّونَهُمْ. You love them. وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْكِتَابِ كُلِّهِ. And you believe in the books, the divine scriptures. But they love you not back. Didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that in the honor of the Sahaba that they loved some of the people that they actually from their family, that they were not Muslims? Did not Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam accept an invitation from a Jewish woman that had a poison, the arm, that's what he liked the most, of a goat? He was invited for dinner by a Jewish woman. That he accepted the invitation? So we have to put it in perspective, akhi and ukhti. Living out here in the West, you have to be smart. You cannot look at one side and forget the others. You have to go on the proper way of understanding al-wala wal-bara'. Yes, there are things that are black and white, no doubt. But there are certain things. Using da'wah is your tool, insha'Allah. For those who are, we say, not yet Muslims. In order for us to understand and raise that banner that I leave you with once again, أَيَنْقُسُ الدِّينِ وَأَنَا حَيِّ. So take the deen altogether, comprehensive, bigger picture. Understanding that you have a role. And Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula says, Ya ayyuha al-nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha, wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila li ta'arafu, inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. O mankind, we have created you from a male and a female, Adam and Eve, and made you into nations and tribes so we know one another. So every human being has rights upon you, akhi and ukhti. Banu Qurayza, we understand. When they broke in the covenant, was Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam after them because they were Jews, or because they broke in the covenant? We know the story. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu arda, a man that was known to be raqiq. When he recited the Quran, he used to cry. Al-Bakka'un, he used to be known among those who cry a lot when they recite Quran. He wouldn't harm a fly. But when it came to the deen and holding back the zakah, he fought. The heart of a lion. And he says, the banner that I will leave you with once again, that I'm going to ask you to raise. أَيَنْقُسُ الدِّينِ وَأَنَا حَيْرٍ. Will this deen be decreased while I'm alive? And your answer should be very obvious. لَا وَاللَّهِ. Not as long as I'm alive. Because I know shaitan works against me. مَجْرَ الدَّمِ. As long as the vein, the blood runs in the vein. You know what the scholars say? As long as the blood runs in your vein, that means as long as you're alive. As long as you're alive, actually take that banner, inshaAllah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
to resurrect us with the one that says, I am Siddiq wa ana hayy. With Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one that says, Wallahi law sarqat Fatima laqata'tu yadaha. By Allah, if Fatima stole, I would cut her hand. Brothers and sisters, I ask Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula to make us among those who listen to speech and follow the best of it. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula, as He guides us in this dunya, to guide us in the hereafter. Wa akhir da'wahum alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa tabi'in. Jazakallahu khairan. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.